Welcome back to another episode of the Adam and Dr. Drew Show Classics. Kicking it off for today, we have episode 1096, released June 17th, 2019, titled Tarara Boomdie. Adam and Dr. Drew open the show hearkening back to some of the parody songs from their youth, which leads Adam to examine how the evolution of language has only served to obfuscate the meaning.
Was that part of your childhood?
Yes, whatever that was. I have no idea. Some sort of cheer from the 1920s.
There was a fair amount of gay old Perry in North Hollywood in the 70s when I was growing up. Ta-ra-ra-boomsie, I'll take your pants away. And while you're standing there, I'll take your underwear. Like, what? How did that make it into the Valley Village?
It's in my head somehow went down with, please look it up where it came from. It went down with something.
My Fair Lady or something?
I imagine like raccoon coats and
this is, I think this is, da, 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 da.
Oh, that's Offenbach. That's a famous.
Yeah, I think it's like a musical. It was in a musical or something.
Its first known performance was in Henry J. Sayers' 1891 review Tuxedo, which was performed in Boston, Massachusetts.
Well, that's how it got to North Hollywood. Thank you.
What did it
clarity.
Become, though? It became like this weird cry, this weird cheer of some type.
Ta-ra-ra boomsie, yeah, ta-ra-ra boomsie. I always pictured the French can-can girl.
There was a
like
bit of that.
The skirt up and doing the kicking, you know.
There was a bit of that feel to it, right.
And
the Offenbach you're talking about is called, I think it's called can-can or something.
Yeah. How are you feeling, Drew?
Good, really good.
Ta-ra-ra,
Drew Z.A.? The Offenbach was bum 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 bum. Different. But you're right, they're related.
It's weird. We always think of pop music, the hooks and the rhythms of pop music like sticking in you, but the classical stuff sticks even more its own timeless kind of way.
Oh yeah. And then in our era, Warner Brothers made it.
Yeah,
deep.
Right.
I have maybe an answer.
Okay.
In the 70s and 80s, Disneyland used it as part of a musical review show called America Sings. So that's a lot closer than Boston.
Could have had some people in my junior high get infected with it and bring it back from Anaheim. It wasn't
maybe.
Me seeing it firsthand.
But it might have been a more broadly used Disney-type theme or something.
Ta-ra-ra, boomsie, I'll take your pants away. And while everything is loosely related to date rape or some sort of Me Too thing, and while you're standing there, I'll take your underwear. Like, can you imagine saying that today?
No way.
And strangely, to be fair, it was directed dude-to-dude crime. That's really what it was primarily.
This says there's also a popular version amongst American kids that goes somewhere along the lines of school today.
Oh,
come on, Drew, what is your impulse to jump in when the person goes along the lines of, like, just let him say it, Drew.
Fair enough.
Well, you're wrong a lot of the time, but even if you're right, you're still stepping on it. So go ahead, Gary, I'll let you finish.
We had no school today.
Ta-ra-ra boomsie, we had no school today.
I don't remember that one. Do you?
No, but I think I just nailed it.
I think you did, too.
That's it.
I never heard that one either. I'm just reading from the Wikipedia.
No, mine was the standing there in your underwear. Do you guys remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds vaguely familiar to me.
Let them finish. Do you guys remember that one? Oh, yeah. not asking you, Drew. These guys are several years younger than we are. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry.
Vaguely remember it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In your eagerness to help, Drew, you're not helping.
Correct.
Correct. Yes, sir. You're the Ed McMahon of wrongness. Yes, I am wrong. Yes, sir. All right, Gary, do you remember the Ta-ra-ra boomsie?
I do not.
All right.
I'm reading about it now. We had no school today. Our teacher passed away. We threw her in the bay. She scared the fish away.
Oh.
She won't come out.
Yeah.
She smells like sauerkraut.
A lot of murder, too.
There's another weird one.
There were weird ones about shooting people. God, what was that? Sorry, go ahead, Gary.
how did I get this way? Was it the boy next door? He pushed me on the floor. He lifted up my skirt. Nope. He said it wouldn't hurt. Yeah. And now before my eyes, I see my tummy rise. I met a girl today. I paid her 50 cents to go behind the fence. Her mother was surprised to see her tummy rise. Her father jumped for joy. It was a baby boy.
Man, that covered a lot of ground. Not since... Let me tell you a story about a man named Jed. Took his Aunt Ellie in, threw her on the bed, pulled down a zipper, and out came a worm, and out from the worm came a bubbling sperm. 8 months later, to Jed's surprise, Aunt Ellie's belly began to rise. Ellie just thought it was a bunch of blubber, but Uncle Jed forgot to use his rubber. It's insane that we're saying that when we're 11.
Oh.
Those things have always been around, and they are way past any line that we've drawn today, right?
Oh, my God.
Like paying you, throwing you on the floor.
But it generally goes...
These are rape songs.
Yeah, it generally goes under the note that adults had no idea what was going on in adolescents' brains in the late 20th century.
We had two themes. We had sea shanties and rape shanties. Those were about all we had.
But we went often, visited them often.
Also, though, and I'm trying to think, like, well, what did it really do? Like,
to us?
Yeah, like, I thought of it as a joke.
Yeah.
I did, it's true, it did sort of, it made it a little more casual, your relationship with rape or paying someone or, like, throwing them. It was... Never engaged in it, but it was much less shocking.
I would argue there was a trend towards the embracing of antisocial behavior.
Right.
And that was just all part of it. The whole theme was, no, we're doing whatever we want. We don't need no education.
I got a great song for you, Drew.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Teacher hit me with a ruler, hid behind the door with a loaded 44, and the teacher don't teach no more. That was an early one for me.
That one would be out.
Like second grade,
imagine
first grade.
Talking about shooting a teacher.
No problem.
On school campus.
What was wrong with our generation?
Now, here's what I'm saying. That song was a song that everybody knew about shooting the teacher, but... Zero school shootings.
Yep.
So where it's like when I was talking.
Where does the language affect the behaviors, what your question is. Yeah, doesn't.
Well, when I was speaking to the then retarded mayor, I mean, still retarded, but he's working in another field now of, Calabasas. And he was explaining to me that kids had the, what was it, bronchitis asthma. Said, okay. Kids have much higher asthma now than they did 25 years ago because of smoking. I said, well, people smoke much less.
Now.
So what argument are you making?
Yeah.
And he kept repeating it because he's a pompous ass and he's
nonsense.
An attorney. But he's explaining, he's doing that. He's a person of science who's using no fucking science.
Yes.
But anyway, he then, because he's a pompous ass, trots it out again. Like, yeah, but what about the asthma rates now with kids? I'm like, well, if smoking is half of what it was in the 50s.
More than half,
and asthma's more than tripled. What correlation are you making? I actually would go the other way. I'd say that
it's an inverse
whatever.
Correlation. Yeah.
And so if the call to action is shooting teachers and everyone knew that song, now you would quickly get rid of that song today because you would say that it would cause this. But no school shootings, everyone knew that song. Now, plenty of school shootings, no one knows that song. What is the call to action? How does it work?
Yeah, what's the mandate there?
You may ban that song. I do not see that there's any...
No.
There's no evidence that it causes anyone to do anything. As a matter of fact, I don't know. Maybe I have thoughts about school shootings, but I certainly know that those types of songs that we would look at as threats now or... taking a grilled cheese and eating it into the shape of a pistol or something have no real effect on that.
Right. Because we did it all the time. It was just sort of...
Well, what has become of us, Drew, in our superstitious nativedom?
You always mentioned that. I couldn't understand it. Why the control of language? Why the crazy focus on language? You said it's a way of getting control of the politics.
It's a way to control. There's three ways you can control a discussion slash debate argument, right?
Yeah.
There's three modalities. You ready?
Ready.
One is you can have more facts, figures, and data, and you can control it.
Yeah.
But in lieu of that, you control the language, mm-hmm. and then you also start calling the other, you start working the ad hominem stuff where you're racist, you're bigoted, you're closed-minded, you're set in your ways, blah, 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 blah. You do those two, you don't have to do the first one.
Right.
The first one.
You don't do anything.
Well, you have to do that.
Yeah.
The first one requires information, and you may not have the information to support your argument. As a matter of fact, oftentimes it's the other direction. So, but you still like to win.
Yeah.
So it's basically, I am in the kitchen arguing with my wife. I am in the wrong. She is correct in what she did come home last night, and the front door was unlocked, and I was asleep, and the kids' door was open, and I'm wrong, but I would like to control this argument. So I will correct her pronunciation of Natalia's name. It's taller. It's Natalia. And I will correct all her verbiage. Yeah. And at some point, I will call her bad mom.
Yeah.
And then I will now figure out a way to wrestle this argument from the jaws of defeat because I can't win it.
Right.
And that's what's going on.
Right. So it's logic, emotions, or language.
Right. So I've always told you the reason ever. It, look, we started down this path 20 years ago. And I was arguing with people. I'd say, so you're a victim of rape survivor.
Oh, right.
Rape survivor. And I'd go, who cares?
Yeah.
What's the difference? And they'd go, I'm a survivor of rape.
To be fair,
not a victim of rape.
You were making fun of it 30 years ago. Violent crime.
Right. And it wasn't quite that long ago, but yes. I was arguing with people, they would also say, victim of rape, and they'd go, rape survivor. And then, this is 1997. Then I would say, are you blind? And they'd say, seeing impaired.
Yeah, I remember.
Seeing impaired. And I would argue with them the whole time. Seeing impaired doesn't work. I don't know what that means. It means you could drive, but you can't drive at night. Like, what's that mean?
Right. I know what blind means.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out whether you're seeing shapes or shadows or whatever. It is a perfect example of controlling the language and also fucking up the argument. Like, you've now shed less light on this discussion because now I really don't know.
It's interrupting the discussion.
Well, I know what blind is, and I also know what seeing impaired is, but you've corrected my blindness for seeing impaired, which makes me think you can see certain things. Or you need reading glass. I don't know what it is anymore, but congratulations. You've won the argument by correcting me. And by the way, the correction, there's always a little dressing down in it.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Like when you go, victim of rape survivor.
I'm going to make you a victim.
Think about...
my aggression. Here we go.
But think about Negro, African American. Like, just think about, and by the way, once we get done of African American, now it's a person of color. Like, it's a constantly, why is it constantly evolving? You pick the word. You replace the one with the one of your choice. Why aren't we just using that for infinity and forever?
There is a weird thing about nomenclature, though. I've noticed it in medicine, that each generation has to have its own nomenclature to rub its stink on things.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a correction. And it's interesting, and I've always noticed it. And the reason I've noticed it is because it felt weird. Like, I'm like, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
How's that helping?
Yeah.
Why is you correcting me helping your argument?
No, it's not. Then it just interrupts the argument.
It'd be like if I was going, listen, I don't give a crap what Steve says. Steve comes into my he goes by Steven. Okay. What'd you do? You just won the argument? Like, are you just stopping and correcting me and winning that way?
Yes.
In your feeble mind, by the way.
Yeah.
In my mind, I think clearly you've not won the argument because you've told me he goes by Steven. That doesn't mean anything to me. And just because you've corrected me doesn't mean you're any further ahead in this discussion.
Yeah.
For some reason, in their brain, I've now leaped to the front of the pack.
Right. It sort of put you off balance.
Yeah.
Weird.
It's great. It's awesome. I don't know. And then also inventing, or not inventing, but dusting off words like problematic and just repeating them like over and over. I find that problematic.
Oh, this is problematic. Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
His tone was problematic.
Right.
You know, it's like, all right, so you just found something that people haven't used in 50 years and you're just putting it out there constantly.
Yeah.
Why is that alluring to you?
It's a signal. That's a dog whistle.
Oh, that's a dog whistle?
That's a dog whistle if we all understand what I'm saying.
Mm. All right.
Next up, it's episode 374, released July 13th, 2016, titled, Like Inviting a Homeless Guy In to Sleep on Your Couch. Dr. Bruce, a.k.a. Dr. Spaz, fills in for Drew as he and Adam discuss the legitimacy of turning left against a red arrow and the groupthink that prevents others from using their own judgment.
Bruce.
Yes.
So you're doing addiction medicine. You're also working a little ER.
Mm-hmm.
What are you seeing in the ER besides just what percentage of it is hypochondriac? I mean, what percentage of people who come to the ER really had no business going to the ER?
Oh, probably 75%. But I wouldn't say hypochondriac. I'd say minor.
No, 75%.
And with Obamacare now, a lot of people utilizing for basic care and saying, you know, I don't want to wait for an appointment. They've finally gotten coverage.
But 75% of the people that walk through the door really don't need to walk through the door.
They may need to see a physician, but not in an
They don't need to be in an emergency.
Right.
Right. And I would argue that 75% of the people that call 911 really didn't need to call 911. They could have went to their neighbor's house and asked them to turn the stereo down.
I don't think 75%, but I don't know. I don't experience that. Talking to paramedics and EMTs, they might agree with you.
All right. So how about we launch a little campaign?
Public service type.
Well, look, I've said it a million times, but what do I know? We got to have the smart guys like Gavin Newsom running this piece of shit state into the ground. I heard a statistic that said, like, they wanted to reduce water usage in Southern California or in the state of California because of the drought. Their goal was 25% or 20%, you know, in the last year. Well, it turns out it was like 26% because they got the word out and people generally did what they were asked to do. In the most part, here's my feeling on human beings. If you tell them to recycle and you have no recycling bins anywhere, they're not going to recycle.
Yes.
But if you tell them to recycle and there's a recycling bin that they can get to on their way to the parking structure out of their car or in front of their workplace or at the snack room at work or whatever it is, then most people, not my agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, he'll throw it on the ground or intentionally throw it into the green garbage can. But
New Yorkers,
most people, when all it is a choice between dropping it into can A and can B, will drop it into the blue one for recycling. Just like when you get the word out that says, hey, we got a drought going. How about you take a shorter shower? You put it out there enough. Most people. Who are decent citizens and reasonable will do that. And or you start working in fines for watering the lawn while the sun is shining and stuff like some consequences. Most people will react accordingly and how you'd like them to react. Well, I would then make the same argument for turning right on a red when it's legal. Most people think it's illegal in California and they don't do it.
I make a left on a red.
You've been listening to me.
Because it makes sense. No, I've always done that.
You're a disciple.
How dare you.
You make a left on a red?
At the arrow. I stop, I look, and I go. And I sort of hope a cop's watching and would love to get pulled over and challenge why can I make a right on a red and not a left using the same judgment call?
Well, the left on the red is the red arrow, right?
Yes.
Now, the argument.
What's the argument?
There is no argument. I've been doing this my whole fucking life. But here's the thing.
When you get pulled over, and you're never going to get pulled over, because that's not the way the cops work, said it many, many, many times, cops have you come to them. They don't come to you. They can't make multiple millions of dollars for their municipality through driving in a circle and waiting for citizens to drive through left turn arrows. Because you want to know what percentage of individuals, let's write this down. What percentage, Gary, everybody write this down. The reason it'll be fun is so we can make fun of Bruce. What percentage of individuals who live in California or any other state drive through left turn red arrows? When the arrow is red and the light is green, they stop, assess the threat level, see if there's any cars coming the other direction, and then ignore the red arrow and drive through it. What percentage? I'd like to think it's higher because I've been screaming about it for a decade, but what percentage? All right.
According to my kids, only felons do that when I do it.
Okay. Now, we got that number. What percentage exceed the speeding limit, the posted speeding limit, on the way to Las Vegas from California or going up the Grapevine from L.A. to San Francisco? What percentage of people exceed the speed limit? And I will say, not momentarily, but for, you know, periods of time.
80 and a 70.
Yeah. Or even 70, even 78 and a 70.
100%.
Oh, you got to write down the number. Okay. Do we have our numbers? Gary, you're a math guy. You go first.
So for red turn arrows, I put it at 0.2%. And for the Grapevine, I put it at 97.6.
Okay. I like that. And Gary's right. It's that kind of thing where you go, you know, people do that thing where it's like, what percentage of people going through LAX are terrorists? And someone will go, oh, it's not even 1%. You know, and it's like, no, one, that means one out of every 100 people. I'm the only human being I'm aware of, except for Dr. Hero over here, who goes through the left turn errors.
I'm accounting for, you know, drunk people who just blow through it.
Yeah, okay.
But I think it's probably you in terms of consciously F the man and maybe 40 or 50 of your fans.
Yeah, so you mean consider hundreds of thousands and millions of motorists out on the road, and then there's me and five other defiant rebels to do it. It's astronomically low. I have, I just wrote 0.01%. I put 86%, going the Grapevine or Vegas. I didn't go over 90. I'm accounting for the nervous Nelly and the sort of elderly and the Hispanic who doesn't have a car that'll crack 70 miles an hour.
Well, I was also thinking about the truck driver.
Thank you.
You know,
and the truck driver.
It can't get that.
The people
going
that are getting a lot of tickets and the professional drivers who just can't
going
afford
up that
another
hill,
ticket. Yeah.
That truck may not get over 75.
Right. Yeah. All right. So one is astronomically low. The other is astronomically high. Yet, we're willing to participate in the astronomically high one, not the astronomically low one. Guess what the cops know? They know exactly what we're talking about today.
They wait for speeders.
Where are the cops? Not at the intersection. They're on the Grapevine. That's the way they work because they're interested in making money. Chris, percentage?
I rounded to the nearest whole percentage. For left turn arrows, I had 0%. But yeah, for Vegas, 98% for Vegas speeding.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And I just drove to Vegas. So.
All right. Bruce?
100% speed.
Can't be 100.
And I was just going to say less than 1% left
okay.
turn.
Okay. Right.
I assume there got to be a significant percentage of people that go, this is ridiculous. Sitting at a red light, especially the less traffic there. What about sitting at a red
light? Hold on.
Wait a second.
All right. It's ridiculous. How many times have you witnessed it?
Oh, no.
We got to get you into the lab. Forget about pulling rebar out of Mexicans. We got to get you into a lab.
Oh, I'm an anomaly of intelligence.
That's why. I knew you thought highly of me.
You're an anomaly in terms of, you're a doctor? That's that kind of anomaly of intelligence.
What about 3 a.m. driving back from Fontana? I'm in Redlands, and there's nobody. Not even your...
Of course.
And I go, through a red light, waiting at the red light.
Oh, I go through the red light. Yeah, I go through the red light, too. Yeah. Look, here's the deal. More dangerous to sit there than to go through.
Some drunk slam into your rear
end. Yeah, of course.
I would agree.
All right. So listen, everybody. Listen, citizens. Do what you like.
Libertarian.
You never get a ticket. You'll never get a ticket. I've been saying 10 years for like 5 years. I've been doing this for 15 years, all day, every day. And as Max Patton and Gary will test, not only from the left turn lane, not only from the lane next to the left turn lane when they have two, but from the main highway around the sheep and lemmings.
That's the best.
That are lined up daisy chaining each other, cock and ass, as I go around the whole group of lemmings. Multiple cars. I mean, I will go in front of all of them.
They're all honking at you, too.
How about the guy that's going painfully slow with the left arrow and going to make you miss it from three cars back? I've gone around at the yellow arrow and passed that person.
I like that as well.
We'll be right back with more of the Adam and Dr. Drew Show Classics. Finally, we have episode 644, released August 11th, 2017, titled Photorefractive Keratectomy. Adam and Dr. Drew discussed tweets from President Trump suggesting that he would place a wholesale ban on transgendered people serving in the military and explore how the terms surrounding those communities have changed over the years.
First thing I said is I was going to break down the old school definition for, and then you got to look, Gary, into the transgender ban or whatever the military one was.
The recent ban?
No, the one from the late 70s.
I mean, what is the ban presently? Is that the
question? Well, I think what I'm assuming what happens, I'm just assuming, because everything just gets shoved through the, oh my God, pearl-clutching media. And then there's a few things. I don't follow things that closely that don't really affect anybody.
Yeah.
Because I'm not one of these guys where it's like, if just one child is left behind, then then it's not worth. It's like, oh no, I'm fine. If we could just leave a baker's dozen of kids behind, I'd have no problem. And by the way, you guys would be completely useless in military or science or anything where they needed any kind of results. You know what I mean? It's like you're going to open a Keebler factory and go, if one cracker's broken, that's too many. It's like, no, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I'm wired.
Right.
I'm wired that way.
Yeah.
And
it appears that it was in the 70s. I'm looking for more.
No, I'm looking for the Trump one. Sorry, I was being sarcastic.
Let me tell you something about this that I learned. Because I don't have a horse in the race. At first I was like, oh, that sounds. I'm sorry they're doing that. But
I don't know. But see, I'm not sure what they're doing
yet.
If you have become a man or become a woman, I would like you to be able to do anything a man or a woman does.
Sure.
Well, with the exception of a man became a woman, went into the octagon and beat the shit out of another woman. And that woman said, I've never been hit that hard before, and I've never felt that kind of grip on another woman. And I do have feelings about that.
Right.
Because that is you taking possibly some of your man strength and inflicting harm on a woman after you've crossed over. And I do have thoughts about that.
Right.
Other than that, you want to go in the Army or you want to be a surgeon or you want to be an accountant, I don't care.
I often find sometimes it's easier to understand things or, you know, sidestep all the political stuff just by looking at what's health and not healthy, that kind of thing. And I started looking at the military exclusions, what the military excludes for, you know, for being in the military.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be shocked. The list is a mile long. If you take a thyroid medication, out. Blood pressure medicine, out. If you see the therapist more than 6 months, out.
If you have asthma.
So I thought, oh my God, they can't let these people in. They're on medication. They have all kinds of therapeutic stuff they had to go through. That they don't meet the medical criteria, just period. Now, you could identify as transgender, then they should let them in.
Well, but anyways, no. You can't – hold on a second.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I do know what you're saying, but you identifying as a woman or man and then wanting to go into that regimen while still being a man or being a woman, I don't think is going to be good for the military, and which is all I care about. I'm not really interested in what's good for
right,
the individual.
But to exclude them based on transgender feelings.
Well, first off, who are we even talking about? 10% of the country? Maybe less? Maybe 13%. Like, the first thing I do is go, how many people are we really dealing? So here's what we're dealing with. I'm assuming if you transgender. Okay, so here's how it used to break down. Transgender broke down, which is you could if you're a crossdresser. I'm giving this to Nick. A crossdresser would be me going home, dressing up in Lynette's apparel. You know, posing in front of the mirror, and then the following day putting on a suit and going back to work the next day.
We're beginning to see that a lot of those people may have been.
That was then.
Okay.
Then that's what we'd call like a cross dresser. Maybe I might sneak out of the house and go to Starbucks
or something. In Everything You Want About Sex or Afraid to Ask, there's a whole vignette about that.
I don't know if you're
from the 70s.
Yeah, so Woody Allen thing. Yeah. So. Now, that's kind of what a crossdresser would just dress in woman's clothing. And it was sort of implied that they had a secret life.
It was considered a fetish.
Yeah, it was a fetish. It didn't seem to be like bachelor crossdressers. It was the guy who was married with the three kids and the suburbia, and he put the pearls on and go out at night and then come back again. Then there was transvestite. Transvestite was I dress as a woman and I go out as a woman, although I have male parts, and go down and hang out by the Shakey's over there on Santa Monica Boulevard. And then there was transsexual. Transsexual meant, and we should look at what vestite means.
I don't know, yeah. Transsexual meant you went to Brazil and had a surgery.
Transsexual meant you crossed over sexually. Transsexual, you've crossed over. Now, so if you say, hey, no transsexuals in the army.
I'm sorry. The actual definition that came up when I typed it in seems more like an identification to me. A person who
that's the one that we came up with last week. It's not the one that everyone used 20 years ago.
You're talking about the old way of looking at it. Yes, yes.
The old way was you were you had become another sex.
You're describing what people understood by those words 20 years ago.
Right.
You're describing it.
Well, it's sort of this whole thing of like corrupting all language, which is, you know, are you blind? I'm seeing impaired. You're impaired? I'm blind. Are you blind? I'm not blind. I'm impaired. Well, impaired just could mean you can't operate a motor vehicle or you can't read, but you could get around with it. It's confusing. Mm-hmm. By the way, I remember talking to a blind guy on Loveline once. He kept insisting he was seeing impaired, but impaired doesn't mean no vision. Mm-hmm. I'd like the definition of impaired, too, because impaired means a lesser state.
I'm having eye surgery. I'm going to talk about that.
Right.
Yeah. But weakened or damaged.
Yeah, weakened or damaged. But it doesn't mean, it's like a car that had an accident but can still drive versus one that can't move. Mm-hmm. And I don't, but blind means blind. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean, I can see some lights and I can read big print. Blind meant blind. So, but we took it, we screwed it, and now we confused it.
We would say legally blind if somebody could still kind of see. We would say that back in the day.
Right. So transgendered meant somebody who crossed over. Mm-hmm. So my feeling is once you cross over, then you are
that. Okay.
And you can go use the bathroom or go use the military. Stay out of the octagon. But other than that, I don't care.
By standard, their medical standards, you couldn't do it. You'd have to obviate all their medical standards.
Well, emotionally, I'm saying if you have gone under the knife, you have become another gender.
Yeah, yeah.
And you would like to go join up with that group.
Yeah.
Then go join up with that group.
What about a female to male who only takes testosterone? That's the only thing they're doing.
Well, whatever
there's no knife involves my point.
However your parts have been altered by the hormones or by the knife, I'm fine with that. If you say, if my daughter joins the wax, they still have the wax. My daughter joins the wax, and some fella down the street says, I haven't done anything, but I definitely think of myself as a gal. I'm going to go sleep in the barracks and take showers with them. Then I realize that that's probably a problem. So I understand that part. So I'd like to meet in the middle. Now, I don't know what the new story is, but I'm guessing...
Regarding Trump's ban?
Yes.
It's obviously still theoretical because it's only occurred on Twitter and hasn't been formed into law yet. But you were asking about the numbers. The high-end group says that it is at or above 15,000, and the low-end estimate is closer to 6,000. I can get you numbers on active...
In the military.
Yes.
But these are...
But Trump's ban basically said that it will bar transgender people from serving in any capacity in the U.S. Armed Forces.
But is it transgendered? And again, because we've decided to corrupt all language and turn everything into everything, we don't know anymore. But if you have successfully went from Major Winchester to Nurse Houlihan, yeah, deep cut.
Look up your MASH.
Are you still banned? Because he's saying banned transgender. And to me, I'm thinking, is that people that have crossed or people that think that?
Right. Well, that was my point. Thinking it is like, who cares?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. You don't have to give me any numbers.
But how can you allow somebody who's taking testosterone, say, and not allow somebody who's taking a blood pressure medicine?
I don't know.
I don't understand how they could do that just medically.
I don't know. I don't know how bad. The idea of not being able to get in the military sounds like a blessing to me. I think my dad had club feet. Couldn't get in the military. Best thing that ever happened to him. Not great for the family, but good for him.
Thanks for listening to another installment of the Adam and Dr. Drew Show Classics. New episodes drop on Saturdays, so don't forget to check back weekly. And while you're there, please like, subscribe, and rate us 5 stars wherever you get your favorite podcasts.